Who is this Lee Oswald? 24 years old. His home, Fort Worth, Texas. He came home from Russia last year. He'd been in Russia since 1959. He had been in the Marines. When he got out of the Marines, he said he wanted to go to Russia. He said he wanted to stay there. But apparently became disillusioned with life under communist rule. After working in a Soviet factory in Minsk, marrying a Russian woman, giving her a child by him. And in 1962, in the fall of 1962, he applied for a passport to return to the United States and bring his family back with him. The passport was issued. Soviet authorities granted him exit permits. When he went to Soviet Russia in 1959, he said he wanted to stay there. That's what he told the American embassy officials. He's now the prime suspect in the assassination of President Kennedy, also charged with killing a Dallas, Texas policeman who was trying to apprehend him in a Dallas movie theater this afternoon. The Dallas police had been tipped that this man might have some connection with the assassination of the president. And the Dallas police did find the gun believed to have killed the president, located it on the fifth floor of a building overlooking the route along which the president was driving at the time of the attack. Three empty rifle shells lay next to the German-made rifle. Three shells did crash into the president's car. One snuffed out the life. This is ABC Radio. Let us pause 5 seconds for station identification. ABC Radio, Don Gardner in the ABC Newsroom in New York, with the sad news that we've been bringing you all afternoon, that President Kennedy has been assassinated in Dallas, Texas. The White House says that President Lyndon Johnson will meet tonight at the White House with Defense Secretary Robert McNamara and White House Security Aide McGeorge Bundy. After that meeting, President Johnson will confer with congressional leaders at the White House. The House Speaker, John McCormack, says that the president's body will lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda all day on Sunday, up until noon on Monday, so that Americans can pay their last respects to Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy's body will repose in the White House tomorrow. There, the last respects to the president to be paid by members of the official family and the White House staff. Up in Boston, John F. Kennedy's hometown, we have reaction. Here is Joe Sabia speaking for ABC in Boston.
The news that shook the entire world on this November 22nd, 1963, was received with double emphasis here in Boston. But this was the city that John Fitzgerald Kennedy called home. He was the personal friend of many Bostonians. People here knew him as president, as senator, as United States Congressman, and as Jack, one of their neighbors. When the first announcement of this horrendous tragedy reached Boston, the city seemed to freeze. One citizen stopped another to ask dazedly, is it true? Is the president really dead? And even when the word was made official, they continued to question one another in disbelief. Local officials who knew the president in their political capacities were just as dumbstruck as was the man on the street. Newsmen could get little more than stammers and sobs from usually talkative public figures. Chapels and churches have suddenly filled up throughout the city. Men and women are crying open tears in the streets. Like the rest of the nation and the world, Boston is numb with shock and grief. We've lost a great man and a great leader and a dearly beloved native son.
Joe Sabia, ABC Boston, reporting on reaction in the president's hometown. Numbness and shock is what we all felt, but though we hated to believe it, the word traveled fast. ABC's Bob Lindley reports from South America and Buenos Aires.
The reaction to the assassination here could hardly be more profound. I saw a woman nearly faint when she read the news on the bulletin board of a newspaper. In the downtown area, policemen are blowing their whistles to try to keep the traffic moving, but in vain. Crowds discussing the president's death make moving on the sidewalk impossible. On learning of the assassination, Buenos Aires' two powerful newspapers, La Prensa and La Nación, blew the sirens they use only for the greatest catastrophes or developments. The last time they blew the sirens was at the death of Pope John the 23rd earlier this year. High government officials are already meeting to discuss what this means for the future of Argentina and of Latin America. Bob Lindley, ABC, Buenos Aires.
Bob Lindley reporting from Buenos Aires on reaction to the president's assassination in South America. One of the men who would have been a possible opponent of President Kennedy next year, depending on the decision of the Republican convention in San Francisco, Governor Nelson Rockefeller of New York State. Governor Rockefeller.
This is a shocking and terrible tragedy for the nation and the world. Mrs. Rockefeller and I join with all New Yorkers and every American in extending heartfelt sympathy to Mrs. Kennedy and the President's family. May God grant strength and guidance to Lyndon Johnson as he assumes his grave responsibilities under these tragic circumstances. The prayers of all of us will be with him. I proclaim for the state of New York a 30-day period of mourning, and I have directed that all state offices shall be closed on the day of the president's funeral.
New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller and his observations and shock, disbelief at the president's assassination today. In Washington are the reaction of congressmen on Capitol Hill. First, the voice of Congressman James Burt, Democrat of Massachusetts. For that, we take you to Washington.
As a congressman from Massachusetts, I can say that I know the people of my state and the entire nation are in deep shock as a result of this terrible tragedy. President Kennedy was one of the most courageous men in the history of the world. He will long be remembered for the great causes that he fought for, and I know that the Congress, the members of both parties, will unite together in trying to carry through the program which he started.
Certainly the entire world, and particularly the United States, were saddened today at the tragic death of our president, President Kennedy. I'm sure it was something that was very tragic and a saddened affair for this country and the leadership that he had exerted, not only in this country, but all over the world. He will be a hard man to replace, and it was a great loss to the fine efforts that he had exerted in behalf of mankind.
And that the voice of Florida Congressman Don Fuqua. Before that, you heard observations by Congressman James Burke of Massachusetts on the president's assassination. The president is dead. Lyndon Johnson has been sworn in. He is president of the United States. An assassin's bullet crashed through the president's body. The president died as a result of a bullet in his brain. President Johnson was sworn in by a federal judge aboard the presidential plane stationed at Dallas Love Field, a plane that had carried the Kennedys into Dallas not many hours before, not many minutes before he was slain. That plane now is on its way back, bearing the saddened presidential party to Washington, due to land in Washington in about a half hour. Mrs. Johnson coming back with her husband, the new president, Mrs. Kennedy returning with the body of her husband. Both of them attended the swearing in of President Johnson today. Mr. Kennedy shot through the head and neck as he rode through Dallas, slumped forward. Mrs. Kennedy turned in the seat ahead and cried, "No," then knelt on the floor and tried to cradle her husband, give him comfort. The limousine took off at orders of the Secret Service at top speed for the Parkland Hospital. The president died there 35 minutes later. The doctors at the hospital said they knew it was serious the moment he came in. He never regained consciousness. It was a losing fight. The last rites of the Roman Catholic Church were given to the president shortly after he was carried into the hospital. A crowd of Dallas people thronged around the hospital where the president died. An ambulance took the body away, almost had to stop because of the crush. But they were silent, waiting, prayerful people. The Secret Service, the FBI, and the Dallas police swung into action immediately. They joined in what was perhaps the biggest and most determined manhunt in this nation's history. And a young man has been arrested as a suspect. A fellow who said 2 years ago he wanted Russian citizenship. He's now being questioned in connection with the assassination, pulled screaming and yelling from a Dallas theater shortly after he had shot a Dallas policeman to death who wanted to get him out of that theater for questioning. That happened in a different part of the city. The man is identified as a 24-year-old. His name, Lee Oswald. His home, he calls Fort Worth. On the fifth floor of a building overlooking the area where the president was assassinated, a rifle was found, a foreign make. Three empty shells lying on the floor. The police said it looked like the person or persons had been stationed there for quite some time. There was parts of a chicken dinner lying there, a lot of papers lying around the floor. The president's body is now on its way back to Washington. Andrews Air Force Base has the sad task of burying the president's body back to the White House. It's expected that the president's body will lie in state at the White House tomorrow, that it will be taken to Capitol Hill to lie in the rotunda of the Capitol of the United States, in state, on Sunday, and remain there until Monday, so that the people of the United States can pay their personal last respects to President John F. Kennedy. While the family has not announced the details of the services, it is expected that Mr. Kennedy will be buried in Boston. In Boston, the president's mother, informed of the sad news about the attack on the president today, that duty fell to a workman on the estate of the Kennedys, who went up sadly to tell Mrs. Kennedy, Mrs. Rose Kennedy, that he had heard on the radio that the president had been assassinated. President Johnson will make his first statement as chief executive at Andrews Air Force Base when the presidential jet arrives from Dallas, now expected to be about 35 minutes from now, 6:15 Eastern Standard Time. The White House says that after Johnson's statement, he will fly aboard the helicopter over to the White House to meet with Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara and McGeorge Bundy, the special assistant to President Kennedy on national security affairs. And Mr. Johnson, a little later this evening, will confer at the White House with Democratic and Republican leaders of both the House and the Senate. The immediate task falling to President Johnson, to take over the reins of government and secure this nation. Some further observations concerning what's happened and what will happen. Here's ABC's Quincy Howe. Quincy?
This is a hard assignment. I've been moving around New York a little bit this afternoon, going back and forth to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, and it is very apparent that the subways, buses, are much more crowded than usual. The people in the streets seem sobered and concerned, subdued. You can feel this mood. I don't know what is going to happen next. Who can tell? The main sensation that everyone has would seem to me to be one of disbelief and a state of almost being stunned. As far as things in this country are concerned, it would seem with President Johnson taking over, there should be no real crisis or difficulty there. What might happen were some of the more volatile leaders of more distant countries to suddenly start acting up, I don't know. But if any foreign country, any foreign movement were to seek to take advantage of any confusion and disarray that might exist in this country today, nothing would be better calculated to unify the country behind President Johnson. Moreover, as far as foreign policy is concerned, and many people will think of that with special urgency, as far as foreign policy is concerned, President Johnson is certainly well qualified to continue the work that President Kennedy was carrying on. He has traveled, visited, and seen many of the countries with which we are now having to deal. The death of President Kennedy also comes at a time when everything is in flux in other countries. Things are in flux in Britain. Things are in flux in France. One doesn't know just at this very moment. The people of Cambodia, the ruler of Cambodia, Prince Sihanouk, has sought French aid now that he has canceled aid from the United States. Is the death of President Kennedy and the succession of President Johnson going to change President de Gaulle's attitude at all? How will all this affect the situation in Britain, which is moving into a very excited election campaign? How will it affect the situation in Germany, where Erhard is taking over? We're in a state of flux, and perhaps because the world is in that state of flux, perhaps President Johnson, with the background that he's got, will be able to maneuver there, because whoever is president now, had President Kennedy lived to this present time, even the next few weeks, he would still be facing many, many new problems, and there is every reason to believe that President Johnson will be able to cope with them.
Quincy, I think it's rather fortunate that Mr. Kennedy, relying a great deal upon the goodwill that Vice President, when he was Vice President, Mr. Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, could establish because of his personality and his manner of persuasion, that it was very fortunate for us that Mr. Kennedy had sent him on just two recent trips over to European countries to see their opinions and to express our opinions on various matters. Do you not?
Yes, I think another thing that would come to mind, you probably remember you were on the air too at the time that President Roosevelt died and Harry Truman took over. And under those exigencies of the war, and after President Roosevelt had served three full terms, poor Harry Truman hardly knew what was happening, and he just sort of said, God help me, when he took over. Now today, it's a very different situation. This time, President Johnson is well-versed in what President Kennedy has been up to, and he has also gotten around and been to these different countries and seen the people there. They have seen him, so that he isn't a complete stranger. He's a face, a voice, a personality that's familiar. Moreover, there is no difference, there is no split, no division on any of the matters of foreign and defense policy, foreign aid, and the rest of it. There may be differences on domestic matters, on taxation, on labor relations, on race relations, and that. Those, however, are not something that have to be decided tomorrow or the next day. But in connection with the turbulent situation right now in the Middle East, in connection with the situation in Southeast Asia, President Johnson, as he now is as well qualified as any man could be to take over, and there isn't going to be any split, any division. That was the point I tried to make before, and I think that is equally important with his experience. He is not only experienced, but there is no split, no division, no change or new attitude going to come in foreign affairs, and it's only abroad that we might get a really sharp and sudden crisis.
Thank you, Quincy Howe. How well your memory. I have been trying not to think of it all afternoon, but I know that this is twice I have sat before these ABC microphones as the sad news came in on the death of a president in April 1945, when the word came from Warm Springs, Georgia, that President Franklin D. Roosevelt had passed away. Then today.
I remember, Don, speaking of that, I was in Europe at the time that President Roosevelt died, and I don't suppose you could quite make a comparison, but the stunning effect of Roosevelt's death in Europe in April 1945 as the war was ending was... The effect in this country could not have been greater, that's all I can say.
I don't think excuse me.
And I think that the death of President Kennedy will be almost comparable to that abroad.
Yes, I don't think that the president's death today has yet really saturated through Europe and the rest of the world. Those observations will be coming to us after day dawns of Saturday.